Track 8, Village Signs. Now, the name of this village and how to pronounce it has always puzzled me. The way it's spelt makes me want to treat it like some other Norfolk places, like Wyndham and Haysborough and Hobbis, where you basically miss out all the letters in the middle. So let's see how Tony pronounces it, shall we?
Heading south out of Norwich, some 22 miles into the heart of the Breckland region, we find Garbosham, a village of nearly 1,000 people, including nearby hamlets, and we have a spectacular village sign. The sign has a single subject, Garbosham Mill, which has been part of village life since the early 18th century. Between then and now, it has seen many changes, including loss of sales, dereliction, and a total rebuild. Today, the mill is again producing flour and is open to the public by appointment. Instead of being a tower with sails, this mill is a raised box-like structure with four sails and the ability to turn to face the wind. The whole building rotates. Below the mill, on the signpost, are carvings of other aspects of the parish, including a red deer, probably in recognition of the decorated Neolithic mace head made from red deer antler, found in the parish in 1965. The six bells of St John's Church, a pair of sheep shears recalling the heyday of the wool trade, a horseshoe and anvil, and being the sign of the forge and village blacksmith, and a dairy cow representing the farms of the parish. The shield is the Norfolk coat of arms. Garbosham's name is of Anglo-Saxon origin and derives from the Old English for Gerbold's homestead or village. To the south of the village are the hamlets of Smallworth and Broomscote Common, the name of the latter possibly recalling the village's ancient pagan past, but more likely perhaps an affiliation to a Scandinavian with the surname Brunn. This name might reflect the Viking invasions or Scandinavian connections of the Wolfingers, founders of the Kingdom of East Anglia. It might even go further back in time, according to unsubstantiated theories that the pre-Roman Iceni inhabited the area were Old English speakers rather than Cymric or Welsh. There is a 10-foot-high Bronze Age round barrow on Garbosham Heath, known locally as Soldier's Hill and Boadicea's Grave, although there is no evidence that Queen Boudicca is buried here. Local antiquarian Basil Brown carried out an excavation at the mound around 1963 and uncovered a burial urn, some cremated human bone, two flint flakes and a flint scraper. The burial probably dates from around 1300 BC and was likely disturbed by gravel quarrying in the nearby woods during the First World War. In the Domesday Book of 1086, Garbosham is listed as a settlement of seven households in the Hundred of Gilt Cross. At this time, the village was part of the East Anglian estates of King William I. Like many of the Norfolk villages, Garbosham grew up around a large stately home or hall. Garbosham Hall was built in the early 19th century by Sir George Gilbert Scott. In the late 18th century, the hall was the property of Crisp Molyneux, who earned much of his wealth profiting from the plantations in St Kitts. In 1822, the hall was the birthplace of John Spencer Churchill, the 7th Earl of Marlborough. It was subsequently demolished in 1952. Garbosham's parish church is dedicated to St John the Baptist and dates from the 13th century. St John's is located within the village on Church Street and has been Grade 1 listed since 1958. The church still holds regular Sunday services, usually three times a month. St John's holds a rare East Anglian example of a Galilee porch, with the interior decoration largely the remnants of a 19th century restoration by James Powell and Sons. The church also boasts an elaborate rood screen featuring various saints, a set of royal arms from the reign of Queen Anne, and a font from the 15th century. Galbersham also holds the ruins of All Saints Church, which was abandoned in 1734 after the tower collapsed into the nave, and a Methodist chapel to the southern side of the A1066.
Thank you, Tony, and we'll keep pronouncing it that way until someone writes in and tells us otherwise.